Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mullion Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
First word that comes to mind when I say these words, okay? Basketball.
Love.
Los Angeles.
Home.
Retirement.
Peace.
And legacy.
Oh. Wow.
Well, it's a good word.
Wow.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was from ABC, 2015 with Robin Roberts. Let's get out to the Al Pamonte Ford hotline. On the line is radio.com's sports NBA insider Rick Bucher. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Rick.
Oh, I've had better days. It's been last 24 hours has been probably the biggest shock that I've ever experienced when it comes to covering the NBA or outside of maybe Magic Johnson's announcement that he was HIV positive. And I didn't know Magic at that time the way that I got to know Kobe Bryant over the last 20 plus years. So it feels a little surreal that we're in a world now where Kobe Bryant no longer exists.
You know, Rick, you had a unique vantage point given your proximity to Kobe and your ability to cover him over the years. And, you know, when you have that privilege, obviously it's a relationship you probably cherish. And how unique was it between you and Kobe? And how would you describe his evolution after his NBA career finished and what we saw him kind of, you know, into movies and writing books and being the dad that he wanted to be?
Yeah, I met him at Long Beach State in the Pyramid back when there was a pure innocence about the NBA. You know, you didn't go through a metal detector to get into the building. There wasn't even security at the locker rooms. And I walked in and met Kobe for the first time after his first summer league game with the Lakers. And I was struck by just how young he was. And there was certainly there was a ferocious appetite to prove how great he was, but there was also a joy that he was that his dream was coming true of playing in the NBA. And so I knew him from that time on to a year later, he's shooting air balls against Utah and the world is coming down on him. And how dare he think that he can be anything close to Michael Jordan? Why is he imitating Michael Jordan? And I think because I saw that very first glimpse at Summer League, I never lost sight of that. And when the world was beating him up, I felt this is just like an 18-year-old kid who just wants to be great and is fearless in trying to prove it. And was it was probably a week or so after that Utah game, I caught him in the locker room and I just gave him some words of encouragement. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, "I'd take every one of those again." He was just so unbowed. He didn't need my encouragement, but I think he remembered that I said something positive to him in that moment. And from that point on, he gave me great access to be able to tell his story, whether it was going out to breakfast, you know. I'll never forget we went to a regular IHOP near the L.A. Lakers practice facility. And we were sitting in the back and we're talking about whatever story I was working on at the time. And we walked out and Kobe fans saw him, and I literally thought they were going to faint on the spot. It was like they had seen, you know, was some cross between a ghost and the Messiah and whatever it was. And he just kind of grinned and he shook their hands and he said hello. And it gave me a sense of, you know, just the impact that he had on people in LA and basketball fans overall. And I got to have a front row seat of just having conversations to the very, just a couple weeks ago, changing text messages about our respective daughters playing basketball and maybe playing against each other. And for everything that he was and for everything that he allowed me to see him be as a player, getting to know him after the fact and even during his playing days, his love for being a father was, or if I talked about my family, he would gush. He wanted to know what was going on with them. He sent my kids videos, you know, telling them to work hard in school when they were really little. And that's where this full stop at 41 with everything that he was doing, he was going to do what I think, it's hard for me to think of another athlete who has had the career that a Kobe Bryant has had and then has had a second act that was going to be completely unique and yet might trump the first act. And he was on his way to doing that, whether it was in his personal life or whether it was as an artist. And that's where, you know, the idea that, I keep thinking this has to be a hoax. This has to be some kind of joke. We're going to get an announcement. There was a misidentification. Didn't really happen, because it's just so hard to imagine that this happened to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, it really is, Rick. And you put that very well. I think that, you know, we don't consider the vulnerability of our sports stars because they don't show it. And, and when you see something like this happen, and you know, the real tragedy is obviously his daughter, 13 years old, and the family he leaves behind. And the idea that, you know, he spent his post-NBA career, you know, really enjoying being a father, being around his kids, helping them in the things they do.
Yeah, well, and he demonstrated that very early on to me. It's one of the reasons why I believe that he married as young as he did, and he married Vanessa, because he wanted that. You know, we always kind of joke about couples, you know, when they get a dog, it's like, that's the starter kit, right? That's the practice for the real deal. And when I saw him with there the very first time, I was up at his house in the Malibu Hills, and you know, this was Kobe trying to make his bones in the NBA, and he was a fierce competitor, and you know, it just, yeah, the scowl and the relentlessness and all that. And then I see him with this little Pomeranian in his arms, and he's making like these cooing baby noises. This is like a completely other side of Kobe. And it did not surprise me at all that, you know, when he became a father and he became as devoted as he did, between his talk and his asking about what my kids were doing to going back to Gucci in those early years. And yeah, you're right. When it comes to the, I think especially, we always think of our sports athletes, great athletes, as somewhat invincible, if not immortal, but Kobe took that to another level. I mean, this is a guy who went to the finals, led the Lakers to the finals with a torn ligament in his little finger, and went to the free throw line with the torn Achilles and shot the free throws, and jumped over Aston Martins. And you just always, there was always this sense that, you know, real rules didn't apply to Kobe Bryant, that, you know, injuries that took down other guys, he was going to find a way to play with or around. And so, you know, being in a helicopter that falls out of the sky, there's a part of me that just is like, well, Kobe would find a way to survive that. And he would certainly certainly find a way for his daughter to survive that. And the idea that that he did not is what makes this all so hard to believe.
Rick, as somebody who's obviously an authority on Kobe Bryant and had the access and got to know him well, you're going to be writing about this, you're going to be talking about this today and the rest of the week and maybe the rest of the season. When you come to the point where people ask you or want to know, what's the right way to process or to where do you put the 2003 Colorado incident and how that complicates his legacy? What's the right way to put that into context?
Yeah, well, he was a flawed human being. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and it was whether it was Colorado or it was his relationship with his teammates at various times, his relationship with Shaq and Phil. I mean, what we saw was someone who grew up before our eyes on a very public platform. And so, the way I put it into context, I can't put it for anybody else, is that for every mistake that he made, whether it was a teammate, a coach, or the incident in Colorado, I saw somebody who tried to learn from it and grow from it and become a different man because of it. And we're all going to make mistakes. That's part of the human condition and part of the human experience. It's a matter of what, in my mind, because I've certainly made my share of mistakes. And so it's hard for me to stand in judgment of anybody else who does, unless they don't learn from them. And the one thing that I saw with Kobe is that he learned from that experience, among others. And he acknowledged it. I mean, he stepped up and he admitted, he never said that it didn't happen. He admitted that it happened. He admitted that it was adultery. Obviously, the terms of whether it was rape or not was disputed and was found not, he was found not guilty in the court of law, but he still changed as a result of having that happen. And I'm always going to give somebody, if they're willing to change and learn, I've certainly been given that opportunity in my life. I feel I'm obligated to give it to the next person.
The pouring out of from all walks of life, so many people, and certainly you saw the Grammys last night did a tribute to Kobe, the house that Kobe built. The players did an unbelievable job. I thought that some of those tributes were really moving. The 24-second shot clock violations, holding the ball behind half court for the 8-second counts. Would they have been better off not playing games, or was that a really good way to kind of tribute Kobe?
Yeah, I thought about that, and I had to do a considerable amount of work yesterday as a result of this happening, and I really didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to write about it. I didn't. And I thought at one moment about Kobe, which would have been, dude, what are you doing? Like, do your job. What are you doing? Because that's what he would have done. He would have strapped it up and he would have gone and got it done. And so I believe that incredible that within the games, everybody basically took one in order to honor him and then continued to play. I can't think of a greater way to acknowledge him. And it did dawn on me. I don't know that I ever kind of, the two clocks in the 8 and the 24 and how they are interconnected with him and his numbers, and that was a fitting way to be able to acknowledge him, and how in some ways I'll never look at those two particular rules in the game the same way now, knowing that they're Kobe's numbers.
Rick, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
You got it, guys.
That Rick Bucher, radio.com sports NBA insider.
Well put, a guy who had inside access and had a long relationship with Kobe Bryant.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.